I'm Paul Wiegraf, director of the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host for today. Joining me in the studio is the executive director of the Grand Opera House, Mark Fields. Welcome, Mark.
Hello, Paul. Glad to be with you.
So glad to have you join us. You're not new to the studio, but you have a new season coming up at the Grand, the Baby Grand, and the Playhouse, which I'd love for us to explore over the next 20 minutes, and also talk about some of the great work that the Grand is doing in the greater Wilmington area, which is really impacting the arts statewide. But I want to start with the theme that you have presented on your homepage, which I just love, and that is find your grand experience. Now, I know that you've been working hard on presenting the Grand as the community's organization. So this is an opportunity for Delawareans to be proactive in seeking out their experience. And there's so much that you're offering this year. So let's get into that. Between the Grand, the Baby Grand, and the Playhouse, what's coming up?
Well, I'm glad you touched on find your grand experience, because I think that is, as you've noted, a resonant phrase. And I think it works in a lot of different ways. One, you know, since 2015, we now have three venues that we're operating, not just Copeland Hall, what has traditionally been known as the Grand Opera House, but the Baby Grand next door. And for the last several years, we've also been operating the Playhouse on Rodney Square, which was once called the DuPont Theater, and before that was called the Playhouse. So there are a lot of different ways that people can experience the Grand. And I think you've also touched on just the tremendous variety of programming that we offer. Everything from comedy to family programs to classic rock to Spanish dance. There's a little bit of everything in the upcoming season. And part of what we're trying to accomplish with that is that everybody in the community can find an artistic home at the Grand with some of the programming that we offer.
I failed to mention earlier, and I had it in the back of my mind, you mentioned a few of the genre. On your website, where you can select, there are ways to sort through your opportunities, which I think is great. That whole notion of I'm going to curate my experience. I'm going to select what I want to see, and your website allows the user to search by the venue, and by the genre, and the list. I counted the list exceeded 30. I think it was 33 or 34 different genres that I could select from between the three venues over the course of the year.
Yeah, we have that kind of variety, and I'm glad you touched on the curation piece too, because I think that's an important part of how we've tried to position the Grand and its programming and all of our venues in the community's mind. There still exists, and there was for many years, a kind of a more traditional performing arts model where the Performing Arts Center itself decided what the community ought to see, and there was a balance of all kinds of different programs and introduced the community to a lot of different artists that they may not be familiar with. And that worked for a long time, but we have found for a number of years that, you know, the consuming audience, the arts consuming audience, is much more sophisticated than it used to be, is much more savvy. They have much more exposure to a variety of artists, whether it's through, you know, YouTube or DVDs or streaming media on their television. And so they don't really need to be curated to the degree that they might have needed to be 25 or 30 years ago. And beyond the lack of need, they don't want to be curated to. They want to go to what they want to see. And so that's how we try to structure the season at the Grand. And we're always testing that and trying new disciplines, trying new artists within a discipline. You know, it's a very plastic kind of classification, because there are artists that can fit in more than one category. And so We offer this variety, and we test it, and we see what works with the community. And if it's something they like, we bring more of that back, and we bring those same artists back if we can. If it's something that there's not a lot of interest in, then we move on. And so we really consider ourselves patron curated rather than institutionally curated.
Now, as you put together your season, I know early on you have a sort of a rollout of you know, an introduction. Okay, here's what's coming up this season, but that's not the final list.
Oh no, not by any means. And in fact, that initial rollout even is changing. The business is changing so quickly, being driven by the collapse of the recording industry and by the rising importance both of television with the billions of channels that you have to pick from, and also the prevalence of streaming media and social media. And all of that has made our job more challenging. I won't say difficult, but challenging. Artists can go from obscurity to being well known in the space of weeks and sometimes even days if a viral video hits and all of a sudden people start watching it. And so it has changed the programming cycle that we work under. We try to announce as much as possible of a season in the spring for the coming fall through the subsequent spring as we can. But this year we announced less than 40 shows in May. But we're already up to 55 or 60 at this point. We keep adding additional shows as artists decide that they're going to go on tour, or we discover somebody that we didn't know about back in April or May. And so it's a challenge for us. It's a challenge for our audience, but it's kind of an exciting challenge because every time you go to our website, it's like, oh, when did that happen? Mm-hmm. Oh, they added another artist. I mean, we announced the Beach Boys in August. We announced Sarah McLachlan in August. We will announce more shows probably every month until we get to next May because they're available and we've got an empty theater.
And to that end, I know that I'm on your mailing list, but for our listeners, as you add shows, I just got a notification the other day of a new act, a performance that's coming to, I believe, Copeland Hall. How do people get that information from you?
Sure. Well, you can just go to our website, which is thegrandwilmington.org, and sign up for our email list, and then you get notifications. We have a special level of benefits for our donors who support us and keep us vibrant and healthy. But every show that we have, we announce to our audience through email, and sometimes it gets covered in the media. But we have a pretty big reach when it comes to social media, so that's the way to do it. Sign up on the email list.
Now, as you're scheduling these performances throughout the year, and you have three venues now that you're managing, what challenges does that present for you, and what advantages does that prevent for you, having three venues to consider?
Well, there absolutely are opportunities, Paul, because of that. The Copeland Hall and the Playhouse both are in the 1,200-seat range. Copeland Hall is just over 1,200. The Playhouse is 1,250. Those are not big theaters in the scheme of things when you come to presenting houses nationally and even the ones that we compete with in Philadelphia and Baltimore and beyond. What we do have as an advantage is that we're on the way to a lot of places. You know, many artists are based in New York or operate for part of the year out of New York, and we're a couple of hours from New York. And so the fact that we have multiple theaters now in that 1,200-seat range doubles the chances that we have a night that's available when an artist is on tour and they have a hole in their schedule. We don't get selected generally for the major stops on a tour because we only have the limited number of seats. Now, we look at that as an advantage for our audiences because it's an incredible experience to see somebody like Sarah McLachlan, who's coming up later this month, or George Thorogood in October in a theater that seats 1,200. It's an amazing experience both for the audience and for the artist. But it doesn't make us really competitive. And so by having multiple venues available, we increase our chances that we can pick up an isolated date on a tour.
Mm-hmm. Now, with the range of genre, I'm curious, and you talked about sort of the evolution of the traditional performing arts center model, and now you're integrating 30-plus genre. There is that notion, and it's a false notion, that only high art or is of high quality. Could you speak to how you sort of look for quality across the genre?
Sure. Well, we have a programming department. Steve Bailey has been our programmer for almost 20 years now. He has an assistant. Pam Minocchio does a lot of our programming for families and for children. I have a hand in it, too. And between the five of us, we spend a lot of time researching artists. We pay attention to what's going on in trade publications, to what's going on social media and on the internet, and we're always finding new artists. One of the things that we have encouraged a great deal in the last 10, 12 years is we ask our audiences to identify artists that they like, that mm-hmm. they have discovered. Mm-hmm. And some of those suggestions can end up being impractical. We're not going to put a huge artist like the Rolling Stones is not going to play a 1,200-seat venue, as much as we all might like that to happen. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, they discover somebody that we haven't heard of. We start researching them. We follow their career. We see how they're what kinds of venues they're playing in other markets and what kind of response there is. And we track those artists. We're probably paying attention to 70, 80, 100 artists at any given time just to see what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to pursue a few other directions with you, but first remind our listeners that we are tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guest in the studio today is Mark Fields, the executive director of the Grand Opera House in Wilmington. Mark, we've been talking a lot about the programming coming up at the in Copeland Hall, the Baby Grand, and the Playhouse. But I want to turn for a few minutes, if we can, to the Grand's expanding outreach. That more and more you are less and less confined to the walls of your facilities. Could you speak to the Grand's really mission in expanding its outreach?
Sure. Be happy to, Paul. Our biggest program that we do in the area that we call community engagement, and we look at it and we have chosen that term very carefully because this is more than just outreach, which is kind of one-sided. You know, community engagement is a dialogue between us and the community. And we have a number of programs there in our community engagement department. One is Stages of Discovery, which is our school matinee program. Mm-hmm. Last year, we reached about 25,000 students through that program. We've got 16 productions coming up this year, everything from PK to up to eighth grade. And we program that series so that it connects with the core curriculum standards in literature and history and civics, science, and social development. And it's a really wonderful opportunity to use a different perspective to teach and also at the same time to expose children to the arts. We have our Summer Explorers program, which has been going on for more than 20 years now. We brought 3,000 people to it this summer. It's a variety of local theater companies, even local children and regional groups, and it's often an introduction for many in community centers and in daycares and homeschoolers to be exposed to the arts. And that program is pay what you can. So that's another way that we're serving the community. This summer was the sixth summer for Summer in the Parks, which is a program that we do in collaboration with the city of Wilmington, where we take artists out of our walls and the walls of our colleague arts organizations and into neighborhood parks. This year, we had over 2,500 participants in that program, involved 30 artists, artistic groups, and another 90 individual artists. So there, we're not just interacting with the community, but we're interacting with our arts colleagues, and that's a really terrific program. And then just this last year, we launched a brand new program that is getting a lot of attention, and we've gotten a lot of acclaim from grantors and community groups. we call our Sensory Friendly Series. And these are programs that are designed for primarily children and young adults that are somewhere on the autism spectrum or that have some other sort of sensory disability. And we are working with artists who are trained in this. We've actually gotten training ourselves. And it's a way to open the world of artistic expression to individuals who may have struggles being in a public setting or paying attention to a full-length production or something. And it's been a wonderful program. We did it as a pilot last year. We're bringing it back full force next year, and we're very pleased that our work in this regard was supported with a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great commendation, because direct grants from the National Endowment for the Arts are highly competitive.
Absolutely.
So kudos to you on that. You referenced it in the talking about summer arts in the parks. Could you speak to what you've seen happening with the arts community in terms of its collaborating and coming together and working more closely?
Well, that's absolutely going on. It's always been going on, but I think with every year we're reaching a new level of collaboration and partnership among our organizations. Arts is by its very nature collaborative. A cast or a musical ensemble or a dance company are all collaborators. You have to trust one another. You have to work together. You have to pay attention to what other people are doing. And so it shouldn't be any surprise at all that arts organizations also are very good at partnering. And in fact, the Grand has made partnering a big part of our mission. And we counted them up a couple of years ago, and two seasons ago, we had 70 active partnerships in the context of the year with different organizations, not just in the arts, but in social service sector, in government, in corporations, and all sorts of things. And although that's a pretty high number, and we're pretty pleased with that, there are a lot of organizations that are doing a high degree of partnering. And what you find is you reach different audiences when you do that. You have a deeper, richer experience for the performers and even the people who are involved planning it by having new ideas and new energy and a different perspective on how you do things.
Mm-hmm. Now I want to change directions a little bit here. It's not unrelated. It has to do with your involvement in the community. The Grand has been an anchor on Market Street for decades now.
147 years, as a matter of fact.
147 years, and it was renovated and reopened.
In the 1970s.
But since then, Market Street, downtown Wilmington, has undergone some dramatic changes. Could you sort of speak, in the last few minutes we have, speak to sort of the Grand's experience in that and what you've seen happening with downtown Wilmington?
Oh, it's very exciting. A lot of people have put a lot of effort and a lot of time and a lot of resources into this over a number of years. And we have new restaurants that are opening on a regular basis downtown now. We have new apartment buildings. The Chemours building, formerly the home of DuPont, is undergoing a major renovation that should be done by the end of this year. There's an exciting new restaurant concept that's going to be a part of that called a food hall. We've got Chelsea Plaza right across the street from the Grand, which will be opening soon to take people. It connects Shipley and Market Street with this landscaped and hardscaped plaza experience and outdoor dining. It's really terrific. It's exciting. I live downtown now and walk back and forth to work, and sometimes it feels like every day when I walk down up and down Market Street, something new is opening or somebody's working on a building that had been abandoned. And what you see more than anything are people on the streets at all hours of the day and night, because they live there, they play there, they work there, and it's really pretty exciting to see. It's been a long time coming. It's been a struggle for decades to get Wilmington to this place again. It was a very vibrant area, downtown Wilmington, years and years ago, and it's been a long time, and it's gratifying to be a part of that.
Could you speak to what you hear from the local merchants about the nights that you have performances or the Queen has something going?
Sure. Well, downtown Wilmington is a pretty compact place, and so when you bring 1,200 people to a show, a sold-out show at the Grand, it has a real impact mm-hmm. on the whole streetscape. When you bring 1,200 people to the Copeland Hall, 1,200 people to the Playhouse, 300 people to the Baby Grand, and there are 800 people down the street at the Queen, the feeling on Market Street is electric. The restaurants are packed and overflowing. There are people walking up and down the streets, and there are people who are coming downtown who haven't been there for a while, and they're going, this place is really terrific. Look at all of these apartments. Look at all of these businesses. Look at these wonderful historic buildings. And we're changing minds, and that's exactly what needs to happen, what we've been working on at the Grand for a long time, and we're very grateful for all of the partners that we have in that project.
Now, we've got about a minute left, so any comments in regards to what's happening with the vitality of the arts and what's happening now with all of the new residential space that's being developed in Wilmington?
Well, we have people living downtown now, and that's really important. Downtown has never been as dangerous as it has been perceived to be. But what it had been for many years was kind of empty, except on nights that something was going on at the Grand or the Playhouse. And now there are nights where there are things going on in all of our venues and things going on elsewhere, and people who are coming to these restaurants as destinations, not as a place to stop before they go to a show. And that has changed the energy on the street, and vitality is a great word for it, because that's exactly what we're seeing, is that kind of vibrance. And this shouldn't be a surprise. The arts have been a catalyst for vibrant downtowns across the country, and I'm not aware of any city in the country that has revitalized without having the arts at the center of it. And so we're a great case study for that.
Yeah. Well, Mark Fields, thank you so much for joining us today, talking about the Grand. And quickly, your website for our listeners?
Yeah, we didn't really talk about shows very much, but you can find them all on thegrandwilmington.org. And as you noted, you can sort it any way you want to and find out what we've got coming up.
Great, Mark. Thanks.